Today's episode is brought to you by Crossway, a not-for-profit ministry that publishes gospel-centered resources to serve the church. Crossway recently published Gloria Furman's new book, Labor with Hope. Through 25 short meditations, Gloria, a mother of four and volunteer doula, helps women of all ages, especially expectant moms, see labor and birth throughout the Bible, pointing to eternal realities related to their own experience. Learn more about this book at crossway.org/risenmotherhood. We're so thankful for Crossway's support.
Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Hey guys, Laura here. We are so excited to be back with new podcast episodes after a summer break. There are so many fun things going on, so we're going to share a few of them with you before we dive into today's extra special show. First, you might have heard something unfamiliar when the show started. That's because this season of shows are sponsored. We are so grateful for the brands, organizations, and ministries that are willing to support the work we do to bring the gospel to moms all over the world. Their support and the support of our donors helps bring these episodes and all our content to you each week. Second, many of you already know about this, but the Risen Motherhood book, co-written by Emily and I, releases next week on September 3rd. We are so grateful for all of your excitement. If you haven't pre-ordered yet, I want to make sure you know about a great additional offer we have right now. To anyone who pre-orders the Risen Motherhood book, you'll receive two free bonus chapters that Emily and I wrote. These won't be available after the book comes out, and we really want all of you to have them, but you only get them if you pre-order. There's just 1 week left to get these, then they disappear. So if you want in, head to any of the major online retailers like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, ChristianBook.com, and place your order today. Now, to those of you who have already pre-ordered, if you haven't redeemed your chapters, make sure you do. Head over to our website at risenmotherhood.com/bonus chapters to enter your confirmation code and get your chapters sent straight to your email. They come right away, so you don't even need to wait until the book ships. Finally, we want to give you a heads up that to celebrate the release of the book, we have a really fun fall ahead. While you'll still hear lots of episodes with Emily and I talking about motherhood and the gospel in our regular format, we've also recorded interviews with our husbands, parents, and friends. We even have some fun roundtable discussions planned. We can't wait for you to join us. To kick off the season, we've invited our communications manager, Autumn Kern, to host an interview about what it looks like to trust God and walk in faith while you're still in process. Autumn's married to Josh and is mom to two adorable children, Ren and Cohen. In addition to her work at Risen Motherhood, she's a budding writer and an acclaimed wedding photographer. And of course, we consider her a close friend. On today's episode, we're going to give an inside look at the book writing process, but also talk about what it looks like to be faithful in any area of life, including motherhood, when you feel like you just haven't arrived yet. Okay, let's get to the show with Autumn, Emily, and myself.
Hey guys, welcome to this episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Autumn, the communications manager for the RM team, and I'm here with Laura and Emily, who are joining me to talk about their book today, along with the idea of being women who are in process. So hey guys, how you doing?
We're really good. We are so excited to be chatting with you.
I'm impressed. Autumn, that was like super good. That was legit.
Does this feel weird?
I mean, a little bit. I love getting to talk to you because it's sort of like Voxer. So this is fun. I feel like I can just pretend and close my eyes that I can't see your face right now over video.
Well, I'm really excited to be talking to you guys. Thank you for having me on to talk about the book and to share with our audience a little bit of behind the scenes of what it was like to write the book. And also, I think a lot of it connects to what women experience just wanting to share the gospel in their own lives. So to kick us off, I would love for you to tell us how you actually got a book deal. Was it something you were looking for, something that sort of just landed in the realm of possibilities? And how did you feel when you found out you'd be writing one?
Yeah, well, we started out, of course, as a podcast, and we were just coming up with kind of a 5-episode pilot to see where it would go. And that was really all that we had on the horizon to begin with. And then over time, we kept planning more and more content, maybe a few weeks out or a couple months out. And so our focus when we began Risen Motherhood was really just to be faithful to the message that kind of God had laid on our hearts, to just proclaim the good news to moms in a way that could hopefully reach them right where they were at as we were processing those things too. And I think about a year into having the podcast, Laura and I were actually together working over a weekend. Kind of, I think we were power recording like a bunch of episodes. An email kind of popped up and invited us to potentially connect with an agent to write a book. And that was one of the first times we were like, oh, wow, let's consider this in a serious way.
Yeah. I mean, there had been some inquiries prior to that, possibly some from like directly from the publisher or different agents, but nothing that really sounded super promising. But this one was actually from a Risen Motherhood community member, which was really cool. Someone who had been listening to the show for a long time, and she had a brother who was an agent, and it was a pretty reputable firm. And so we were like, hey, we want to take a second listen to this. And so she was willing, as we emailed back and forth, to connect us with them. And really the ball got rolling from there. And I remember Emily and I were both pregnant at the time. I was with my third child and she was pregnant with her fifth child. And so much of us was feeling like, I don't really know. Like, we'll talk with these people, but maybe we won't write a book for a few more years. But it was kind of neat. What they did was actually a little bit sneaky, where they passed us each little piece of the proposal. So a proposal is typically like 25 pages. It could be even longer. And our agent actually had us write pieces of our proposal really, really slowly. And we had no idea how to put together a proposal. We had no idea what one contained. And so he just kind of like led us forward little by little, these two pregnant ladies that were very overwhelmed. And before we knew it, it was so funny. I remember getting an email from him and he said, and congratulations, you've written a proposal.
So yeah, it was really, really cool to see that come together. And it was scary to kind of release that out to different publishing houses and see what the response would be. But we were just overwhelmed with this good response from a lot of different people. Others were excited about the message that we were sharing, and just it was really resonating with people. So it kind of took probably 6 months from, or a few months from releasing the proposal to securing kind of a final deal. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was exciting.
Yeah. And then from there, we had about a year to write the book. I moved during that transition. So that was definitely a big transition to try to write a book and do that kind of stuff. And maybe we'll talk about it a little bit later, but plenty of time technically to write the book. And then you kind of move into this marketing season, which is what we're in now a little bit. And it feels odd and it's a little strange, but it's also a really fun season. So yeah, that's kind of the journey in a very tiny nutshell, yeah. I guess.
I think that's great. And I love being on the team to watch you guys be co-laborers for the gospel. I think it's really wonderful and really unique. I would love to know through this process what you guys learned about each other and also individually, and then about the gospel and motherhood, because I feel like this was a long season and the Lord was doing a lot through your relationship and through your time writing.
Well, I learned about myself that I don't know very much.
Me too. I'm just going to ditto that.
I felt like, again, before we started, we'd been podcasting on subjects related to motherhood and the gospel for about a year and a half by the time we started our draft. And so there was this at least baseline sense that, okay, I kind of have a sense for how we want to communicate this. It's already laid out. You know, I've written for many, many years before. I read a lot, but just again, the deeper I got into it, the more I realized like, wow, I have a lot to learn about these topics still. I think another thing I learned about myself, which was probably the biggest revelation or lesson for me, is that I have a lot of critics living in my little brain that I'm always trying to please. And this was a huge battle for me. Every time I sat down in front of my computer, I felt like I was sitting down at a table and I could almost picture the personalities and the peoples that were around me and the things that they were saying about my writing. And, you know, ooh, that's not very smart, or, ah, that's not very funny. I'm done reading this book. I'm going to put this down. She's not very relatable, or all those different things that were just kind of made it extremely difficult to stay focused on the essence of what we were trying to communicate and just kind of not be self-focused, but be just focused on the Lord. And I think at the end of it, I really felt freedom from that. I had to come up against it so much that there was just a point where there was no way this book was going to get written unless I battled them with truth and was willing to say, you might be right, but I am still God has still called me to do this, and I can communicate the gospel with his help. And then I think just in terms of learning about Laura, I think I was just, you know, impressed over and over again with what a fabulous writer she is. She is so good at kind of taking a theme and just sticking to it like glue and carrying it and weaving it through all of her chapters. And that was something I really learned from her along the way. And I also think like she was a really good editor for me. And she, I already knew those things, but it was fun to watch in action just her ability to pull out different things that I maybe needed to shift and tweak and just help me hone in on how I could connect with people better. And so I just really, really valued her as an editor.
Aw, thanks, Em.
Yeah.
Oh, we've been through so much. I'm just kind of reliving it over here, some flashbacks. But I would have to ditto Emily. I mean, it definitely brings you to your knees with realizing all the things you didn't know you didn't know. And so that was a great reality check. I think we talked a lot about how humbling it is to write a book. And then it was similar to Emily a bit, but in the idea of critics, I think for me, it's a little bit of a twist on that where I have a deep desire for people to just like what I wrote, like for them to think that I'm clever or funny or that it's really beautiful or winsome. And this is kind of to Emily's credit. She's very good at reminding me that it is never worth sacrificing truth for cleverness. And I think that that is something where as a writer, you know, they always say writers love their own words the most and nobody else will love them as much as you. And that rang in my ears because so often I would want to cling to just a rhythm or poetic moment or something that just felt really beautiful, like I said, or winsome. And I wanted that more than I really wanted truth. That is like a really hard thing to get around as a writer and just something that I had to be willing and always remember that like truth is and clarity is of utmost importance, whether or not like I'm the best writer. And it kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier. I kind of kept having to ask myself, is this something that might be helpful to a mom to read? Like, is it going to blow her away and be the most amazing thing she's ever read? And most of the time I kind of felt like, no, probably not. But hopefully God is going to work through that and move her, not because of the words that I use and my sentence structure or my powerful argument, but because the Holy Spirit's working in her life and like I can trust God to do the work and my words don't have to. And that was a huge thing for me to overcome and feel freedom in as I write. In terms of Emily, I mean, I would say a lot of the similar things. I think she is a wonderful writer and it was just really fun. She would write, she would draft a lot. So she would have a chapter and we kind of be like, yep, this is good. Let's move forward with it. And then the next thing I know, I rewrote it. And so then there'd be a new chapter in my inbox. And then, oh, she rewrote it again. And so you build on your ideas really well. And I think you want to hone them in. And I love seeing that I felt like you worked so hard on the chapters and you would have all these amazing ideas. And frankly, I still stand behind in general. A lot of them could have worked in the ways that you took the chapters because they all were wonderful. But ultimately, I really value Emily's value for just like truth and clarity. I think we balance each other out really, really well with our different strengths. And I think that, I don't know, Em, you were just really, really helpful in encouraging me and helping me process through an argument and making sure it's really logical. And that, again, going back to it being helpful for the mom on the other side, that it stayed so true to scripture and it wasn't bouncing around, which is something that I can kind of tend to do. And so I thought that that was just really helpful. And I was so thankful to have her by my side the whole time.
Aw, well, it was just really fun to work together. Yeah. And I think we learned a lot about the gospel and motherhood along the way too. We've touched on it a little bit, but one of the things I learned was just on one hand, like it is hard to apply the gospel to motherhood. Like you have to stop and think. And sometimes I would have a chapter that I was trying to, you know, take the gospel framework and apply it to relationships. And I would have to do a mind map on a piece of paper. I mean,
you know, mind map.
Pencil and paper and like draw lines and like connect things. I mean, it was that complicated.
I've never done one of those.
Oh, I still have those tucked away somewhere.
She's mind mapped my life before.
And it was that quote unquote hard. But then the funny thing is it's also like quite simple. And we're often the ones wanting to overcomplicate it. And that's true of the good news. It's true of the Bible, right? Where a child can sit and listen to it and comprehend the most essential, wonderful things about God loves me and I trust Jesus. But then an adult scholar who has a PhD in whatever can sit and read the text and feel a little bit confounded by it. And so I think I just definitely learned that tension as we were writing the book.
That's great. Thanks for sharing all that. And I think you're both pulling out this tension point of wanting to share the gospel really well, but also realizing that you're still in process and therefore it's not going to be perfect. And I think that's something that a lot of moms feel as they think about sharing the gospel, whether that's written down or just verbally amongst friends, is that you can kind of look back at what you've said or you've written and just cringe because you wish you hadn't said it a particular way or that you understood nuance better, or even that you just better understood what you were talking about. And so that desire and inability to carry out sharing the gospel perfectly is just the reality of being women who are moving towards holiness but aren't holy yet. And that's all of us, whether you're in a ministry position like something like Risen Motherhood or you're just doing ministry in your normal everyday life with the people around you in your community. So it can be really nerve-wracking just to do that. But I imagine, and you've mentioned this a little bit, putting those words in a book that will sit on bookshelves indefinitely seems a little higher stake. So I'm wondering if you guys had encouragement for the moms who feel that tension about how, as women in process, they can share the gospel, even if we can't be perfect in our theology or our application or even our rhetoric.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really great question and something that I struggle with, well beyond the bounds of just even my work here at Risen Motherhood. And, you know, I'm consistently just reminded that when you love someone, you share about that person, you know? And I have been thinking a lot about like Luke 8, when Jesus heals the demon-possessed man and Jesus says to him, go return home and tell everyone how much I have done for you. Or Jesus with the woman at the well, you know, the woman ends up saying, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. And Jesus did great things for these people and they couldn't help but talk about him and share him. And when your life has been changed the way Christ has changed mine, I'll speak for myself, like, I think that I can't help but share. And I think often I really struggled. I know I've kind of touched on this, but I struggled with feeling like there's nothing new under the sun. I can't produce something that is new. Like, someone's going to do this better than me. Someone's going to say it in a more fabulous way or have a more interesting way of pulling this out. But I had to continue to remind myself that the message itself, like, A, doesn't rely on me, and that it's really God is going to carry it. And then also that if I adore Christ as much as I say that I do, then like I would be compelled to share for all of the amazing things that the Lord has done for me. And that's something that I just want to remember, whatever I'm doing, is that I want to glorify God with my words and my actions and my speech, no matter where I'm at on the journey, because a good and amazing and wonderful gift that he has given me, and that is an overflow, the way that I speak about him, the way that I share about him, the time that I invest in this book or other things is because I love God so much and I just long to honor him with my life. And this is today, what's in front of me, and a way that I'm able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I definitely piggyback on all of that, of just that the reality is, as Christians, if we have our hope in Christ and we love him and behold him, we are compelled to share about him. But I also think, for me, it was very much going back to the words and the perfection of theology. I think that can very much paralyze me of wanting to wait to say something until I can get it exactly right, or if I feel like there was some knob I could turn to get it even better. It was extremely difficult for me to just at a point say, this is as good as I can reasonably do with the time that God has given me and the mental capabilities and resources that I have right now. And I think one thing that's encouraged me in that was Paul, and that he shares in scripture that actually compared to the speakers of the age, he wasn't eloquent. He wasn't super well-spoken. He didn't have all these fancy, elaborate arguments, but he proclaimed Christ. He preached Christ crucified. And the great thing is that it's really God who is powerful in our weakness. It's the gospel that is powerful, and it's the power for salvation. And people come to faith, you know, as they hear God's word and God's good news shared. And so when I would remember that, it would take the weight off of me, and it would put the weight onto God, who can most certainly carry it and be powerful and transform lives. So that was something that I had to remind myself of often. And also, I think, to remember that God is not thwarted or caught off guard by human failure or sin or mistakes. And in fact, we have lots of evidence in scripture of how he actually used sin and failure and mistakes to further his plan and make his gospel more beautiful and go even further and to show his glory brighter. And so I think I even took, I take comfort in that, is that there may be things that I didn't say right, and that even in that, God can still be glorified as we continue to learn and grow in humility.
Yeah, I think that truth transforms it too from being a burden to try and make it perfect. And instead, it becomes a delight to just go and share, because the gospel has clearly advanced in its entire timeline through mm-hmm. sinful people. Like, yeah. mm-hmm. there's been a perfect person down here other than Christ to share the word of God. And so I love to think that God is faithful to his church, and the Holy Spirit is shaping our hearts towards what the word teaches, so we can take in great content and then trust that if we are studying the word, God will continue mm-hmm. to teach us the way that he does. Yeah, we can just be faithful and then we can rest, which has kind mm-hmm. of been like the theme of what guys have been talking mm-hmm. about. Just be faithful in the next step and then trust God with what you're offering. And so I also think that tension causes some fear, because again, that vulnerability aspect that we've touched on a little bit. So being in process is just vulnerable. When you're being taught and stretched and molded and changed, you come up against your own sin and your weaknesses and all the ways you misplace your affections. And so I think women feel desperate for anything that sort of answers those issues they see, especially the quick fix offerings. A lot of what the world offers seems really easy. It's usually like 10 steps of this, or this is the one trick you need to keep your kid in bed at bedtime. And instead, what we ought to be doing is seeing like the slow plodding of scripture study and prayer. And that can require waiting and some heavy mind lifting. So I'm curious what you guys think are some of the most tempting false hopes surrounding moms today, and then how the gospel actually provides the true hope that we really need.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, it's pretty straightforward. I think that I can mother good enough to buy my kids a good future. And I kind of feel like if I'm just careful enough and I just keep them safe in the right ways and I'm super nice and friendly and I offer them all the right life experiences, then they're going to be happy and healthy and thriving adults. It's very much in my mind a formula. And it can be hard for me to not think like, well, if I do all these things right, then God is going to kind of owe me good kids. Or on the reverse side of that, I live in fear that as I make mistakes, God is going to punish me by allowing my kids to turn out bad if I can't be everything that they need. And I think we dive into this a lot more. There's an episode we did a long time ago called "Is My Child's Faith My Responsibility?" where we talk about the tension. But that is something for me I find most tempting to put my hope in, is just frankly myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm the same way. I think so often I'm a pull yourself up by the bootstraps kind of gal. And I think, well, I'm the answer. You know, if I just do a little more research, ask better questions, study a little bit harder, stay up later, Google the right thing, you know, I'm going to create this really great life for us. And someday my children are going to look back and call me blessed, right? That's the measure of a good mom. And I think that's what I want to hear someday. Sometimes I forget, like, hey, what is the true measure of success? And we did a whole show on that. Of what is your measure of success, I think it's called. We'll link it in the show notes. But for me, I always think, well, someday I just want my kids to tell me, yeah, my mom did a really good job. And so my hope is in them liking me and them thinking that I helped create the success that they are today. And so often it's like a worldly version of what success is rather than a godly version. And so I think that theme runs really common with moms all in general. You know, we all kind of have our different ways that may work out, where there's certain methods or things that they can subscribe to figure out the right formula to create successful children and look like a successful mom. And I mean, even Christian circles have their own way of saying, hey, this is a great lifestyle choice or a parenting choice that is going to create a successful child someday or is going to make you as a successful mom. And the reality is that there just isn't a formula for being a successful mom outside of God's plan. Like God's plan is that actually we've all failed and none of us have been great moms, but because of Jesus Christ, you know, we have redemption and we have reconciliation with God because of him. And actually Jesus gives us that good mom status. And now we can be confident in knowing that we have his word, we have the Holy Spirit, we have his church that is going to help grow us and sustain us. And God's going to provide everything that we need every single day as we live faithfully according to his plan, what we need to be good moms, you know, for our children, because ultimately every act of good that we do is just a grace and mercy of God himself giving that to us. Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know, that's like the heartbeat of our book. That's what we really care about here at Risen Motherhood, is a mom learning her reliance on God, not her reliance on herself. Mm-hmm. And I think there's just a lot of freedom when that is fully understood in your heart.
Yeah. To build off that, even another thing that we see and that Laura and I have personally experienced is just that when we are in seasons of feeling really overwhelmed or like we're not doing a good enough job, can start to also try to kind of self-medicate, I guess you could say. So another direction that people can steer, one direction is like I'm going to find the formula. Another one might be, I'm going to kind of self-actualize and become the best version of me I can be. And that's going to be through certain types of self-care or a certain life balance that I'm going to strike on my own, or like just kind of becoming lost to our own hopelessness and almost a victim to our own circumstances. And we can really struggle and moms can really wrestle in that. So I think the good news has an answer for moms there as well, that yeah, we do, we are limited. We do need to care for ourselves, and we are women who matter to God, created in his image, and our feelings do matter to God, but we actually gain our lives by losing them in Christ. And I think that that can be really, really hard to hear and comprehend, but it's really for our joy. So we're not a victim to motherhood. We're actually a servant of God and the role that he's given us. And that's another way we can just find hope in the midst of our struggle and our hopelessness.
It's so beautiful that the gospel meets us where we are in process, because we're all at different points. And so I love knowing that the hope of the gospel is true no matter what stage of motherhood you're in, or what's happening in your house on a Tuesday, or how bad your week has been this week. Like, God's grace meets you there and enables you to obey him and then enjoy his joy, his gift of joy to you. So I would love to know if you could stand by the shelves in a bookstore as they are looking and reviewing your book, looking at the cover, what would you say to them? Knowing that this is the heartbeat of the book, what would you want to say to that mom as she touches the beautiful cover?
I want to know, like, can I have childcare so I can just go to a bookstore and stand around the bookshelf?
Seriously.
That
seriously
sounds like fun.
Oh, man. I mean, I hope it makes them think. I hope that they are convicted by it, but also encouraged by it. I think we would both say just that women who read it are willing to wrestle with it and do some real heart work, and that it isn't something that is just a quick read, but that there is some thought that goes into it and thinking of how possibly thought patterns might change or heart tendencies might be revealed. And our hope and prayer just is that God would use it in the lives of moms and to just point them to himself. And I always say about the podcast, kind of, I don't know if I've ever said this on the show before, but like, this is so true for me of how I feel, is that I do not care if you remember my name, but please remember that I love Jesus. And like, my hope as women read this book isn't that they're impressed with my writing or with Emily's writing, as good as hers is, but that they would say, I am more impressed with God, mm-hmm. and that I long to know him more. Not Emily, not Laura, not the Risen Motherhood ministry even. It's really about God, and go and get involved in their local church, and that they would pull their Bible off the bookshelf even if it's been a really long time, and that they would invest in their relationship with him after reading, and that he would be their source of life that they cling to forever. And like my heartbeat is like the reason I kind of went through the pain to write the book is because I believe in the message so much. And I believe in the power of God to change hearts. So we're just hopeful that it is a blessing to anyone who picks it up and that it starts great discussions in their everyday lives.
Yeah. Well, Emily and Laura, thank you so much for joining me on this episode of Risen Motherhood.
You did a great job.
If you guys want to check out our show notes, you can find them in the link at our website, www.risenmotherhood.com. You can also follow us on the internet, on social media at Risen Motherhood on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And these guys will see you next week.
Great job, Autumn.
Thanks, Autumn.
Thanks, everybody, for listening.